don't know.
Okay.
I'm not an expert.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
No?
Yes.
That button there.
Thank you. Meet with us, we pray, through this time of worship. Meet with us through your living word, through the fellowship we share here together, and of course through the risen Christ. Open our hearts to all that you would say to us now, in this quiet time. We would be still. Lord, hear these prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the name of Jesus Christ, the child of Bethlehem, in whose words we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In a moment, Jean is going to come and light the fourth Advent candle. But I just want to remind you, because it hasn't been said for a couple of weeks, that the national body of the United Reformed Church has asked all its member churches not to light the second Advent candle this year. And the reason for that is we want to signify that we stand by those suffering in Israel and occupied Palestinian territories. The reason, of course, that it's the second candle, some of you may not know this, but is that candle is often known as the Bethlehem candle. I want to suggest, though, that as we've already lit the Ukrainian candle on the communion table, we see, or try to see, the balance needed to believe that there can be light, to believe that there is hope, not only for the countries that I've just mentioned, but wherever there is conflict in the world. Let all who dwell in darkness walk towards the light of God's love. Amen. Jean. Go tell it on the mountain, after which Wally will lead us in the Bible passage.
without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much indeed, Wally. It's been my experience as a Swindonian over many years that even Swindonians often condemn this town. They call it a bit of a dump and all sorts of things that are wrong with it. I'm saddened by that, because if you look at all the wonderful gardens and parks there are around, and if you look at the general friendliness of most people, why do we say those things? I don't know. One thing also, I think Swindon, despite the fact it doesn't have a cathedral and it doesn't have a concert hall as such, produces a lot of gifts through the form of art, particularly through music. The number of choirs and orchestras that exist around the town and locally are numerous. More, I would say, than average for our type of town. They also produce people with unbelievable gifts. And there's somebody who's going to come and sing now who was born in Swindon and who has sung at places like the Albert Hall, the opera houses and various parts of the world. He's a professor of medicine, a doctor, but my goodness, he's got a wonderful voice. Come on, Mario, come and sing for us, O Holy Night. I've built you up now, Mario. Mario, absolutely sublime. People are often a little bit reluctant to applaud in church, and quite frankly, that was a half-hearted attempt. I think we ought to do it again. Well done. Because you see, I do believe that God doesn't mind applause. I really do believe that. That reading that we heard from John's Gospel is read often at this season of the year. We know that. It's sometimes read at the service of Lessons and Carols. And it states, of course, in no uncertain terms, that the Christmas event saw God becoming human. He revealed himself, or at least I think part of himself, in the child Jesus. The Word became flesh. But that's not an event, of course, only of the past, is it? It can't be left in the past and only heard through John's message now and again. This is a living, vibrant message for you and me and all who hear it and respond. The Hebrews believed that the Word was another expression for God. So the writers of John's Gospel are saying that God became a human being through the child Jesus. The Word became flesh. Jesus was the God-man. Oh, there have been many clever theological arguments and much emphasis on certain things written in John's Gospel, but the essence of this Gospel is making it quite clear that Jesus is the one who came to show God's purpose for us and for this world. We need doubt no more, says John. I read a slightly more modern translation of this Bible passage recently. It was in the Bible called The Message. Now, some of you might have a copy of that. It was produced a few years ago now. But part of that read like this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. I like that because it gives a real feeling of closeness between us and God, don't you think? And the word dwelt, as in dwelt among us, translates as from the Greek to the word tent. So God became human and pitched his tent in our neighbourhood. That's a different way of looking at that story, isn't it? My dear wife Liz will tell you that I'm not a great fan of camping. I did it at school for 1 week a year over 3 years at a place called Carey Camp in Dorset, very close to Corfe Castle. It was a sort of boys outward bound experience. Six of us slept in old World War II army tents, and we climbed up all sorts of ropes to trees. One boy fell off about 20 feet up, was in agony, and the teacher said, "Get up, boy, there's nothing wrong with you." He'd actually broken his arm in two places, but there we are. But you know, over the years, I felt that driving tent pegs into hard or sometimes soggy ground after a long drive with traffic jams is not really my idea of fun, especially when there are perhaps high winds or rain and damp and cold nights with sleeping bags feeling cold and wet through. We can't confine God, you see, to beautiful buildings, warm and cosy, thinking that he is only worthy of such wonderful dwellings. No, as the message says, God pitched his tent. He was a brave soul, God, you know. Braver than me, I think. Well, he has to be, doesn't he? This tells me, I don't know what it tells you, that God is not some kind of theological doctrine, some pie in the sky, if you like, distant, mystical, unseen being who has no real understanding or connection with us mere mortals. No, no, no. God is real, and someone with whom we can have a relationship. Jesus is not an abstract essence or just a man of history. We can't wheel him out just at Christmas and Easter because he's here among us all the time in our neighbourhood where he's pitched his tent. And because of this, he is linked to us. And he knows everything about the human condition. He knows loneliness and grief and anxiety and hurting and rejoicing. And yes, he knows laughter too. Thank God for that. He is, as the name of this church tells us, Emmanuel, God with us. He's not up in the sky, he's down here. So, friends, I'll just leave you with this thought. Whatever our joys, our sorrows, our hopes, our fears, the Word has become one of us, dwelling with us. What a fantastic message that is, really. It's through Jesus Christ that we can enjoy that relationship with God. It's how I think we make sense of our hopes and joys and fears, and yes, of our disappointments and our sufferings. That baby who was born in a manger just over 2,000 years ago, that man who preached and lived the good news for everyone, who died on a cross and rose again, is active and alive in you and me today. That's what transforms lives, believing that message. So I say to you, if you need God's love, then be assured that that love is there. If you need God's comfort, then allow God to embrace you. If you hear God's challenges to you, then respond to them. You and I can be, and I think we are, the Word of flesh and blood, living, working, loving and laughing when we pitch our tent and welcome God into our neighbourhood. We are the people, believe this, we are the people who can help to shine a light of hope for those who walk in darkness. So let's go and do just that, shall we? Let's try and shine some more light where there's darkness, in our small corners. I want you to enjoy the season. I want you to live out the message of Christmas, the true message. I want you to do that in your neighbourhood, alongside your God, who lives there too. Amen. This is not a Christmas carol hymn, number 528, but I thought a lot of the words sum up what I've just been trying to say. Jesus, good above all other. very much, Jenny. That's a compilation I made of some proper poems and little bits I put in. But I just thought, again, it was summarising something of what I was trying to say in the reflection. The choir, we're slightly depleted today, but we're going to sing from Rejoice and Sing, number 139, so you can follow the words. It's a well-known carol, the angel Gabriel, the story, really, of how it all first started. So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you were born an outcast and a refugee, in weakness and in frailty. And as we rejoice in your birth, hear our prayers for those who have no cause for celebration. We pray for the hungry and the homeless, the poor and the unemployed, the oppressed and exploited, the lonely and the downhearted. We pray for the sick and the dying, those who are sorrowful and bereaved, those who lost loved ones over this past year, or who continue to feel an emptiness for loved ones no longer with them. We remember the victims of violence and war, far too many, Lord. All those lives lost and other lives shattered by all sorts of tragedy and disaster. Not just wars and fighting, bombs and bullets, but floods and fires and earthquakes and so many more things that, thank God, we hardly ever experience on these islands. Lord Jesus Christ, born to set your people free, come again to our world in us, so that we may bring understanding where there is division, comfort where there is sorrow, hope where there is despair. At this time, we pray particularly for all those who work in the emergency services, in hospitals and care homes, in refuges. We pray for the local and national and international agencies who strive for a better world through Amnesty International, the Red Cross, Christian Aid, food banks, Crisis at Christmas, the Salvation Army, and so many more. Come and bring light where there is darkness, Lord. Bring love where there is hatred. Bring faith where there is doubt. Bring new life where there is death. Make us the people who help to bring others out from the wilderness and make Jesus known. As we remember the actions of that one innkeeper, may we always seek to make room for those who are in need of our love, help, and care. We pray these prayers through the babe of Bethlehem, who was born, lived, died, and rose again to show us that there is a new and a better way. Thanks be to God. Amen. We now have our offering. Bless, O Lord, these gifts which we bring before you now. Use them to help further your mission in this church in our town and in the world. Amen. We join in saying the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Do join us for a quick hot drink and a mince pie or a biscuit afterwards. I hope you've got time just to wish one another socially the compliments of the season. Thank you for your attendance here today, and as I said earlier on, I wish you the compliments of the season. I like this hymn because of the third verse when we get to it, because to me that's the prayer we're going to be offering for our world. It came upon a midnight clear. May the love, the joy, the peace of the Christ child be with you and your loved ones and with our world this day and forevermore. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us this day and always. Amen.